Alrighty. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you, my heart is, this week my heart was heavy, and the more my heart, the heavier my heart gets, I go to Jesus. Whatever you carry, please go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. He will help you carry it. You know, the word says if you're carrying something heavy, give it to him. Whatever you carry. He says, take my yoke, for my yoke is light. My yoke is easy, you know, and that's what we're going to do. So my charge for you, I'm not sure how long we're going to do it, but I know we're going to read Revelation. I'm not saying I'm going to start a series on Revelation, but as a congregation, we've been studying in our home groups the four principles for presence-based ministry. For presence-based community. And I think we almost done with it in our home groups. And this week I've been thinking, you know, sometimes I don't know if that happened to you. You grab the word and you're like, okay, now what can I read? What should I watch? You know, this will never, there's no water down this. The word of God is powerful. The word of God will remain powerful. So whatever you read, you know, whatever you read is the living word, and the living word will always bring life to you. You know, so I was doing this. I read a lot of stuff. I read 2 Chronicle, 1 Chronicle. Sometimes, I don't know if you do it, audio Bible, you know, I encourage you to do it. Just, you know, sometimes sleep with the audio Bible in the background or in your car. You know, listen to the word. Put the word in you. You know, and I know Kendra, she's been on for a couple months now, she's been studying Revelation. She tried to get us started with her, but we couldn't do it. But she's just in it. And I'm listening to the news, and I'm watching the news. I'm watching the world evolve. I'm like, wow, this is crazy stuff. You know, America, Haiti, and Ukraine, the war and everything, man. And I'm like, I just wanna read again what God says about the end time. You know, and I know even preachers, and most of you could testify, you haven't heard a lot of sermon or studies on the book of Revelation. You're like, why? Well, first of all, you need to understand that the book of Revelation is a book of prophecy. You know, it's a book that talks about, you know, futuristic stuff that will happen. And a lot of things are already happening, you know. And I think, as the Church of Christ, it's to our advantage to know exactly the season we are in. Because when you know that your season, you know, like right now, it's summertime, you know. You know, whether you like it or not, it's summertime. And I'm laughing now. I'm having a good time. But guess what? Winter's coming. Whether I like it or not, winter's coming, and all of you who likes the cooler weather gonna laugh at me now, you know? It's the same thing. You need to be aware of your season. You need to be aware of the time that we are in. And I tell you, we are in a scary time, but good time, though. Bible time, I tell you, if you are Bible-based, I'm not talking about being religious, but I'm talking about understanding God's word. Not watered down word, but I'm talking about understanding the Bible, the word of God. And for us to do that, we need to be in it. You need to be in it. So therefore, my charge for you this week, you're going to read for me the first three chapters of Revelation. So I know some of you could read it tonight. It doesn't matter. But I want you to dwell in the first three chapters this week and add that to your devotion. You know, you could read it again. Read, you know, it's like the more you read it, and I'm going to send you some outline on email. And our home groups, I'm going to give them some studies. We're going to just go over Revelation again. So, the book of Revelation. So, Josh, back there, you can relax because I find a way to control the projector on my phone. Technology, I tell you. Look at this. Woo-hoo! How awesome is that? I love it. So, open your Bibles, first of all, in John chapter 1. Today, I'm going to talk about the introduction of the book of Revelation. Ah, oh, thank you, Jesus, for your word. John chapter 1. The book of Revelation was written by John. I love John. And John was the last disciple, the last one that pretty much didn't die for his, I mean, he died for his faith, but he is the oldest disciple that, among the 12 disciples that died. He died last, the last one. He was the last one who died from the 12 disciples. Okay? So John chapter 1, there are some things I want us to highlight here. Verse 1, it says, in the beginning the Word already existed, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life and everything that was created, and his life brought light. Underline that in your Bible or on your phone. Light. Everything, the Word gave life to everything that was created. So everything that needs life, eternal life, needs to acknowledge the Word. When we're talking about the Word in this context, it's making reference to Jesus Christ. Okay? Everybody with me, okay? I'm not sure. I'm going to try to be really stick right here because this is more like a study than a preaching. I might preach a couple of verses, but I tell you, I think this is very, we're not going to rush it. I want you to see that. Underline this word, light. It says, and his life brought light to everyone. Verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish. Underline that. But I want you specifically underline the word the light. Light. It says again, the light. Making reference to who? To who? Jesus. So Jesus, the light, shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. How much does our world need Jesus? A lot. Jesus is the only hope. You declare it. I tell you, man, you put that on your profile. Jesus is the only hope. Jesus is it. Jesus is the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And we are the light. We are supposed to be the light of the world. Why? Because we have Jesus in our hearts. We have Jesus in our lives. So therefore, everything we do, everything we say must project out what? Light. Jesus. Can I have a witness? That's right. So, verse 6. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about what? The light. So that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. Have you ever seen so much light in just a short period of paragraph? I don't know if you guys ever seen this. It's like, I'm like, oh my goodness. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in about 3 verses. Putting a lot of emphasis that the world needed light and the light came. But you know what the world did? Don't want light. They don't want light. Have you ever gone without electricity for a while? Is that pleasant? Some of our stuff started to spoil. Those of us who are wise enough that's got like 3-4 fridge for rainy days. I mean, those fridge after a couple of days without the light, you know what's going to happen. I mean, you can't eat all those food at once. I guess you could just give them away. But then what? It tells you how much the light is important in our lives. The light shines in the darkness. Let's read that again, verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. He was, verse 9, the one who is the true light who give light to everyone was coming into the world. Verse 10, he came into the very world he created, but the world did not recognize him. Underline that in your Bible. Recognized him. Knowing this word, the Greek word that translated the word recognize, means they refused to acknowledge him. Wow. Because you know, when you read Matthew, Luke, and John, you realize some of the Pharisees, they refused to believe in Jesus. They said, well, what's good can come from Nazareth? If those guys would have known the origin of Jesus Christ, they would keep him for themselves. They wouldn't want, like, staking Peter, have Jesus. I mean, can you imagine? I tell you a revelation I'm living in right now. I'm living in the revelation on the fact that Jesus lived with Judas for 3.5 years, and Judas didn't get saved. It wasn't because Jesus didn't try. It goes to tell you, it doesn't matter how much you project the light. People have to respond and acknowledge the light for the light to have effect on their life, in their lives. Am I making sense? Oh, Lord. You know, as I was getting ready for Revelation, I'm studying chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. You know, don't let Revelation scare you. Take it for what it is. I mean, I don't have this massive revelation I'm going to give to you. We're going to read the word. Or there are things I still don't understand. That's why I'm trusting you taking time to read it at home and be like, Lord, what does that mean? Shoot me a question too if you're stuck. I might not have the answer. And if I don't, I'll say, I don't know what that means. Or we go to God together. When I read this and I don't understand it, I go to Jesus. I'm like, what did the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? Of course, you do some research. You went deeper in your studies. They did not recognize him. And I pray as we experience this world, the evil that's in the world. I mean, the world is not worse than 2,000 years ago. I mean, you remember what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah? Is that how you say it in English? Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember what God did? Destroyed a whole city because the city was so perverted. And you remember what Abraham did with God, trying to change God's mind? So can we change God's mind on something? Well, I bet we can. See, God is a good father. God is not this evil father when he said, this is what you're doing, this is what you're doing. No, God's not like that. He gives us choice. It's like, Abraham, I'm sick and tired of these people. You know how much it broke God's heart for the Israelites to say, we want to be like these other people. We want our own king. And God's like, well, guys, I've been your king. I've been your Jehovah Jireh. I've been providing. What are you talking about? And God called the prophet, says, Samuel, you do what they say. It's not you they're rejecting. I mean, they're rejecting you. Oh, man. I got to stay on course. Close the rabbit trails. Bring it back. Verse 11. He came into his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed, underline that, to all who believed him and accepted him, it's not enough to believe there's a God. Oh, I believe there's a God. Oh, I believe there's a God. I believe. Oh, yeah. You believe in Jesus? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. But have you accepted him? Have you made him your Lord? Meaning, have you given him the driver's seat? And shut up and let him drive? Have you done that? Don't be this annoying passenger. We talk about that already. You know? Won't you turn here? Won't you turn there? Hey, watch it. Those passengers, they save us sometimes too. They save us from many accidents. Watch it, honey. I salute my wife on this note. But all who believed him and accepted him, he gave them the right to become children of God. So now, quick jump into in John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, see, Jesus right here is confirming John chapter 1. Jesus said, guys, you remember what John the Baptist was talking about? But let me tell you this. I am the light. There's no other light beside me. I am the light. You know, we're not going into that verse where Jesus says, I'm the truth, the light, and the life. Truth, light. The truth, life, and light. No, let's just stick with light. I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Does our world need light? Does our world need Jesus? Yes. Does our churches need Jesus? Do we need Jesus? Yes, I do. But he's saying here, I am the light of the world. It's not enough to believe. I mean, we're talking about belief just like knowing and knowledge. Oh, yeah, I know Jesus. I know God. There's a God. Some people call him the man upstairs. Oh, yeah, yeah, I believe there is a man upstairs. What does that mean? Well, I believe there's a man upstairs. Man, I would rather believe, really give soul out believing there's a God and die and find out there's none. Instead of being this skeptical person who's like, there's no God. Once you died, you poof. It's like, once you're dead, you poof. Really? That's miserable. That's going to be miserable after you dead or poof and realize there's a judgment. But let me tell you this. I'm preaching to the choir here. We all believe there's a God. We all accepted the fact that God is the ultimate sovereign God. That's one thing I realized about the book of Revelation. It put a lot of emphasis on the fact God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Don't look at the political situation that's going on in the world, in our country, and be so, don't immerse your mind into it. I believe Revelation is going to give us a kingdom perspective on what's going on. And the book of Revelation is not going to cause you to be afraid. But the book of Revelation is going to give you peace. When peace like a river tendeth my what? So, when troubles, is that how it goes? Like sea below, whatever my taught me to say, it is well. Man, in the midst of this craziness, it is well with my soul. Come on now. In the midst of this craziness, dog eat dogs. I'm seriously trying to make sense out of it. And I know a lot of people are so compassionate about many things things. I don't get it how somebody can like be crying, like sobbing because this is like what's the big news on TV right now. the whole turnout will this versus Wade. I don't get how somebody can like be crying out because they can't have abortion. Just crying because, man, you know, they can't do it. They can't flat out going out and kill babies. Let's close that. Let's go back. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because why? You will have eternal life. You see, in this, I want us to read it. You know, with the tiny wrinkles and cries, he entered the world and wrapped in strips of cloth, took his first nap on the bed of straw, subject to time and parents. He grew to manhood in Roman-occupied Judea. His gentle hands became strong and calloused in Joseph's woodworking shop. As a man, he walked through the countryside and city, touching individuals, preaching the crowd to crowds, training 12 men to carry out his work. At every step, he was hounded by those seeking to rid the world of his influence. Finally, falsely accused and unfairly tried, he was condemned to a disgraceful execution by foreign hands. And he died, spat upon, cursed, pierced by nails, and hung heavenward to all for all who derived. Jesus, the God-man, gave his life completely so that all might live. At God's appointed time, the risen ascended Lord Jesus Christ will burst back onto the world scene. Everyone will know that he is Lord of the universe. Those who love him will rejoice, greeting their Savior with hearts overflowing with songs of praise. But his enemies will be filled with fear, allied with Satan. The enemies of Jesus will marshal their legions against him and his armies. But who can withstand the power of God and his coming judgment? Jesus will win the battle and reign victorious forever. Jesus, the humble suffering servant, is also the powerful conquering king and judge. You see, when Jesus came the first time, a lot of people missed it. His second return, nobody will miss it. You know, and he's not coming on this mountain. You remember back in 1980s, there was a group of people. They said they're going to quit working because Jesus was coming May 31st somewhere. That's a big billboard in Haiti also. There's a time, was it the 90s? Jesus was coming back again in the 90s. People start, you know, quitting their jobs and selling everything they had. And they went to this mountain and be waiting for Jesus. I don't know if they're still waiting. But this tells us right here, our King. You know, Revelation is a book of hope. And as you open the first chapter today, tomorrow, the rest of the week, you're going to read it over. Take time, read it. As you open the book of Revelation, you're going to see a lot of hope. John, beloved apostle of an eyewitness of Jesus, proclaimed that the victorious Lord would surely return to vindicate the righteous and judge the wicked. You see, now when you preach this message, or when you talk about, well, you know, judgment's coming, God's not judging anybody right now. There's no judgment. And people need to get that message. It is God's love that leads us to repentance. It's not God's, you better repent, or you're going to... Well, you better repent, because what's coming, I tell you, what's coming, you don't want to face it. But right now, God loves you so much. Oh, come on. Receive his love. Receive his grace. Receive it. Live in it. Experience it. If you're dealing with sin, get rid of it. If you're dealing with, bitterness, get rid of it. Whatever is causing you to not fully devoted to Christ, get rid of it. Because Jesus is returning and the wicked will face his judgment. Yes, they will. But Revelation is also a book of warning. And the more I read it this week, I read chapter 1 probably 6 times this week. It brought me hope, but also I saw the warning. It's a warning, warning, warning. Right? When tornadoes are coming, right? Our phones, all of our phones buzz. You know, thank God for such system, right? Everybody knows tornadoes coming. There's a storm coming. It's a warning. So somebody would have to be completely out of their mind if there's a tornado coming and you see it coming and you're driving towards it. Although I've seen those people that study tornadoes. They're nuts. But I tell you, if it wasn't for them, we would know how a tornado behave. You know? They've got their machines. They drive by the tornado. I mean, they're like, no, thank you very much. Revelation, we have the book of warning. You wonder why Christians are so afraid of Revelation. It is a book of warning. It's crazy. Things were not as they should have been in the first century churches. So through John, Jesus called the members to commit themselves to live in righteousness. You see, when you talk about righteousness in the church, righteousness, holiness, you know, living a pure life, who wants to deal with that? You know, what we're doing right now, you know, we're talking about the Bible. We're talking about we need to live our life according to the Word of God. Righteousness, we need to live a righteous life. If you say you're a Christian, your life, this is your pattern. If you say you're a Christian, sin should be an accident. Hopefully none of us have an accident today. By the grace of God, we pray and we rebuke that over each of, you know, we stay away from accident. But accident must be an accident. If you follow the rules, sometimes, most of the times, you might be able to escape an accident. But other times, you have nothing. You can't escape it. It just happened. You see, sin is the same thing. For the believer, for the follower of Christ, sin must be an accident. So the warning, what is it? The first century churches, they dealt with pretty much the same thing we're dealing with right now. Why? Because men's hearts are evil. I tell you, one of the reasons we hear it and it's in front of us right now, it's because we have what we call, I remember back in 1990, when the first Left Behind movie series came out. You guys remember those things? I mean, I thought, man, that was high tech. How is that even possible? One world, one network. What? Guess what? We're already experiencing one world, one network. I mean, I can see, right? I mean, a couple months ago, there was a plane crash in Haiti. My friend calls me. He's like, did you hear? There was a plane crash just right the street down our house. I said, really? I went on Facebook. There are a couple online TV station. I mean, right away, I mean, those guys, they were on top of it. I saw my neighbors. I saw a bunch of people. You know, nowadays, split second, everything is live on TV. You know, the world's not big anymore. I mean, PK and Nancy, they're in the Philippines, you know, way across the almost across the world. It's like I see what they're doing. They're putting stuff on the network Facebook. I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. We're praying for them. It's like every day you could see. You remember back in the days when we were kids, there was cassette tape. You know, you record a cassette tape to your aunt.
That
was new. Was that new? That was something else before that? Okay. Huh? A-tracks. Okay. And then you had to mail the A-track, and it took 3 weeks for it to get there. And then your relatives had to record one. Man, I tell you, this new generation, they don't know what they're missing. That was amazing. You know, and you live with such anticipation, right? Because, you know, you know your aunt or your friend's going to send you a track back, recording what they're doing. Although Jesus gave this revelation to John nearly 2,000 years ago, it still stands as a comfort and challenge to God's people today. We can take heart as we understand John's vision of hope. Jesus will return to rescue his people and settle accounts with all who defy him. Wow. Jesus will return. Wow. To settle accounts with all who defy. That's why, please, let me encourage you with this again. People that are opposed to God, pray this. God, have mercy. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, you would probably oppose God too. You would probably be so bitter towards God. And you asked yourself, we were talking about it this morning, what has God done to people? Why do they hate Jesus so bad? Why does the world hate Christ so bad? Think about it. Why? The way that leads to hell is wide open. But the way that leads to eternal life is shallow. And not everyone wants to follow it. John began this book, the book of Revelation you're going to be reading this week, by explaining how he received this revelation from God. He then records specific message from Jesus to the seven churches in Asia. Suddenly, the scene shifts as a mosaic of dramatic and majestic images burst into view before John's eyes. Now, remember, don't let this scare you, because there are things I read in Revelation. I'm like, what? I don't get it. You know, some images, some stuff, I'm not saying I'm going to be able to interpret and explain everything to you. Suddenly, the scene shifts. Okay, I read this already. The series of vision portrays the future rise of evil, culminating in the Antichrist. Then follows John's recounting of the triumph of the King over all kings, the wedding of the Lamb, God's final judgment, and the coming of the New Jerusalem. Revelation includes with all promises. Forgot to turn my phone off. Revelation, turn your phone off. Revelation, where was I? Revelation includes with the promise of Christ's soon return, and John breathe a prayer that has been echoed by Christians through centuries. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And I tell you, this is my prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. The things you hear that troubles you, you say, oh, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. You know, I kind of miss some of us need to start saying, because I kind of miss Joe Mills. Come, Lord Jesus. Don't you? It's like, yeah, Joe Mills not here. You know, maybe some of you need to adapt that. Come, Lord Jesus. You know what she's saying? This is what she's saying. She's just echoing that prayer from Revelation when John was breathing it. You know, for centuries, saying, come, Lord Jesus. And we say that again this morning. You know, we say, come, Lord Jesus. We need you. Our world needs you. So as you read the book of Revelation, marvel with John at the wondrous panorama of God's revealed plan. Listen as Jesus warned the churches and root out any sin that blocks your relationship with him. Be full of hope, knowing that God is in control. Jesus' victory is assured, and all who trust him will be saved. You know, the book of Revelation is, I mean, it's got this kind of a pattern. It talks about the vitriol statistic, and this morning I want to take some time to talk about the blueprint and the mega theme of the book. You know, so the vitriol statistic, what's the purpose of Revelation? The purpose of Revelation is to reveal the full identity of Christ and to give warning and hope to believers. So therefore, what a book to read, huh? So this is what I want you to tackle the book of Revelation with this perspective. It's a book, its purpose is to reveal Christ. And that book's going to reveal Christ in a way not like Luke, Hebrews. It's going to show you Christ at a whole different on a whole different perspective. The author, you already know it. The author is John. The original audience, it's the seven churches in Asia and all the believers everywhere. There are commentaries that talks about, you know, some people were talking, they're like, man, I mean, was the book wrote specifically for those seven churches at that time? Well, at that time, it wasn't just seven churches that existed. But at that time, those churches needed to hear those words. And when you read chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you're going to understand why those churches had to receive those messages. And the one thing I'm very excited about us reading the first 10 chapters of Revelation, you're going to see where we're at as a church. When I read the different churches, the seven churches, I'm like, okay, which church, even not necessarily as a collective church, as a corporation, but as individual, which church I find myself in, which category I find myself in. You know, the date written, Revelation was written, I mean, some people say between 90, 80, and 95. But a lot of commentary put emphasis on 95 after death. So the year Revelation was written was 95 after death. Where was it written? On the island of Patmos. You see, most interpreters believe the seven churches of Asia to whom John wrote were experiencing persecution under Emperor Domitian. The Roman authorities had evidently exiled John to this island of Patmos as a punishment. You see, this morning we went to the beach and we freely baptized Ron. Nobody reported us. Nobody, I mean, what freedom? That's what I'm talking about. What freedom do we have? Do you know that there are countries in this world believers don't have that freedom? So we thank God for such freedom. We thank God that we are still able to preach the good news. Nothing will stop me from preaching God's word. Whether they want to put me in jail, let's go. What's your position? Nobody can shut the church down, because we know the church is not the building. What did they say during COVID? The church has left the building. But you know, there are a lot of people that have left the so-called church. They left the community. They've left the connection. They've left the body of Christ. If you understand Christ, the head, the Bible doesn't give us any other example to follow. Jesus is the only example. That's why when you live your Christian life with such perspective, when people fail you, don't quit your course. When people misrepresented Christ, don't throw away your faith. Do not base your faith on following a man. Because men are men. They might fail you. Keep your faith in Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. God also revealed to John in the book of Revelation what would take place in the future. The coming judgment and the ultimate triumph of God over evil. Key verse. It's the key verse. Now, this verse, I want you to learn it by heart. It's Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. If you open it from your Bible, it says, God blesses the one who reads the word to this of this prophecy to the church. Part 1. Guys, I know I am blessed a lot of time when all the time when I come here, I preach the word, I know I'm blessed. But man, I forgot about this Bible verse. It says, God blesses the one who reads the word of this prophecy to the church. Hallelujah, I'm blessed. Because I'm like, okay, let's go, Lord. I'm going to read it to you. Because it says, I am blessed. But it also, part two says, in. He blesses all who listen to its message, number one, and obey what it says. For the time is near. Key verse, Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. God blesses the one who reads the word of this prophecy to the church. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. And God's going to bless you, each one of you here, if each one of you listening online, God's going to bless you for listening to the message. See, right now, just the fact that I'm talking about Revelation, God's blessing you. But your blessing won't stop from there. You have to obey what you read. Can I have a better witness? Thank you. Thank you, Lorraine. Key people in Revelation. The key people in Revelation are John and Jesus. You know, key places. Patmos, the seven churches, and the New Jerusalem. You know, Revelation is what we call, in French, they call it apocalypse. Apocalypses, from the Greek word, apocalypse. That's actually the Greek word, apocalypse, apocalypse. literally, that uses symbolic imagery to communicate hope in the ultimate triumph of God. That's why there are certain things you're going to read, you're like, what? A dragon with seven head, that's like a monster. But the Bible is telling you it's, you know, a different story. So don't worry, okay? It's just different ways God's going to talk to us. So what's the blueprint? The blueprint. You know, the letters to the church. And we're going to read all seven letters to the church. The vision John received begins with instruction for him to write to seven churches located in Asia Minor. Asia Minor right now would be what they call in our lifetime right now, Turkey. Okay? He commends them for their strength and rebuke them for their flaws. I think that's very good. That's very good when you read God's word, or if you have someone in your life that can challenge you. If you have someone in your life who just want to tell you, pat you on the back, tell you the good things you're doing and never challenge you on your flaws, be careful. You want to surround yourself with people that can rebuke you. Or when I say rebuke, it could be like telling you if you're on the wrong path. You know? You should be able to have those people in your life. You know? I mean, all of you, I know this is the church you come to, but I think a believer should go to a church that really challenging them to grow. You know, if you go into a church and the only thing they say, oh, you good, God just loves you all the time. Really? God does love us all the time. But you know what? Our sins separate us from Him. So therefore, we must live a holy life. Man, that's offensive. Well, I tell you, the word of God is very offensive. Each of the letters you'll find out directed to a church then in existence, but also speak to condition in the church throughout history. See, that's why the seven letters we're going to read, and I'm not going to do it by myself. We're going to do it together. We're going to see where we at as a church and where we at individually, where your heart is, you know? So the message for the church, point B, the message for the church was to worshiping God in heaven, opening the seven seals, sounding the seven trumpets, observing the great conflict, pouring out the seven plagues, seizing the final victory, making all things new. Those are the message to the church. You know, this revelation, this book of Revelation, is both a warning to Christians who have grown apathetic, an encouragement to those who are faithful and enduring the struggles in this world. Don't we need that? You know, there are Christians, I said, they have grown apathetic in their walk. I mean, it is easy to follow Christ when you surrender to him. But is it easy? I tell you, it's not. It takes discipline. It takes discipline to be a devoted Christian. It takes a lot of discipline to be a Christian who is just like, you know what? I want Jesus. I want to be in his word. I want to read his word, and I want to obey. That's the other thing. Because reading is very easy. But obeying, applying the word of the Lord in your heart. You know, a couple weeks ago, Father's Day? You know, I told you a testimony on, between me and my father. So, I'm going to give you another testimony today, what God did in my heart. Again this week. So you all knew. I mean, this is a thing. Family. No, you're family. We're family. I don't give you all the details, but, you know, there's certain details. What God's doing in my heart is so good. So, and the good thing is my brothers, they listen to sometimes on Sunday afternoon or Monday, I talk to my brother. He heard my story, and we talk about it. So you all know, most of you maybe know, you know, in January, there was a request for my mom. She wanted to move back home. So, okay, Kendra and I, we did everything. Drove to New Jersey, did the whole thing. You guys knew I was going to go. I had COVID. I was tested positive with COVID. And she went. It was a headache to send her back, you know, all the stuff we had to put in place to make sure she was good. I went down there making sure she was good, all stuff. Well, a couple months ago, I find out she's talking to one of my siblings, and some reason, somehow, one of my siblings and I was crying, Mom, you know, all this stuff, you know, forgive me, I want you back. Behind my back, I'm the oldest, I find out she's back here. She's back in New Jersey. She's back in New Jersey. Now, I am the oldest, okay? I love my family, and I love my mom. And I think her being in Haiti, where she was at, was the best thing for her. That's what I thought, okay? But she's still fully capable to think for herself. Is that cool? Yeah, so that I have to respect. When I did everything I did, Kendra and I, we thought we did it because that was her wish. And since none of the other siblings wanted to play along and spent the money, well, we did everything we could do to make sure she's fine. Guys, well, I had to deal with my heart again this week. Now, you can imagine the anger, the rage, and the bitterness I had. I mean, it was just like, I felt every hair on my back was standing up like this, screaming. So Thursday, I'm in my office, you know, I'm praying, I'm reading the word, I'm meditating. I sent you guys an email with a song, His Grace is Sufficient. I don't know if you guys click on it and listen to it, but I listened to that song all week. I mean, I got in at 9, and I was listening to a song list, and then I got to that song caught my spirit. My attention. And then I click repeat. And then I couldn't move from there. I listened to that song from 9 a.m. till I left here at 3. I listened to it. I was just soaking into it. There are times I'm sitting before God and I'm like, Lord, I feel heavy. I feel like I'm mad. And then Jesus told me, he said, you're so bitter towards your mom now. What are you going to do about it? I was mad. I was bitter. I felt hurt. I felt betrayed. I felt everything you could feel at the moment for what had happened. And then, of course, me and Jesus, we're having an awesome conversation. I said, well, you know what, Lord? You understand me, and thank you, and I'm sorry. Forgive me. And I went home. I confessed to my wife. I confessed. I said, you know what? The Lord told me today I'm bitter. And I am bitter. And you know what? I am bitter. I get it. You know, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So therefore, he came and shined his light in my heart at the moment. And I realized, man, I am bitter. But what am I going to do? She's my mom. I can't get mad. It says, blessed are the children who honors your parents. So I'm a preacher. Therefore, the words, I mean, it's like right back at me. And you know what I did? I choose to forgive her. And her and I, we're going to have an awesome relationship. But you know what I've learned? You can't save everybody. Jesus, only Jesus can save them. How many times you've invested in someone? You think they needed this. You invest your money. You even took them in. You even rent a house for them. I've heard people, I know people in my life that says, you know, I give you one chance. What would you do if Jesus only gave you one chance? They even have a saying, fool me once. It's on me. No, it's on you. Fool me twice. It's on me. Am I saying it right? What would you do with your account with Jesus Christ? How many times you fooled him? How many times we fooled him? How many times he gave us the grace? His grace is sufficient. And how did I encounter this? Just in Revelation chapter 1. Because it encourages me in my faithful walk with Jesus to keep the course. Keep the course. Love people. Love people. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. Forgive them. You can't save them. I mean, it grieves our hearts, especially when we see our families, our siblings or relatives turning their back on Jesus. They don't get it. Jesus is the life they're looking for. There's nothing you can smoke nor you can drink that can bring satisfaction. Only him. The book of Revelation also reassures us that good will triumph over evil. I told Dave the other day, I said, have you ever watched a movie where the bad guy wins? Dave said, yes, I have. I'm like, shoot. You know? But really, I don't know if you guys ever watch a movie where the actor, he dies. Yeah, man. I don't like those movies either. Yeah, actually, I think there are some movies out there like that. But those are the worst movie ever. You know? Every movie you watch, there's always a fight against good and evil, right? It doesn't matter how evil triumph all throughout the movie. At the end, good will win. See, the book of Revelation, what does it do? It also gives us a perspective. Even if you feel like this world, evil is triumphing. You know, it's like people are evil shutting you down. That's why I charge you, I challenge you, stand up for what you believe. Stand up for life, stand up for truth, stand up for righteousness. You know, I heard somebody says, when we don't speak, we comply. When you don't speak against evil, you're saying evil's okay. And that's what has happened to the church. You know, we want to be likable. We don't want to offend anybody. Of course, we don't want to offend anybody. But I'm going to stand for truth. It's not your truth. It's not my truth. Not his truth. This church's truth. No, it's God's truth. The word of the Lord. So the book of Revelation reinsures that. Just chill. Keep the fight, because good will triumph. The book of Revelation also gives hope, gives us hope as we face difficult times, and gives guidance when we are wavering in our faith. Christ's message to the church is a message of hope for all believers in every generation. It's been a long time since I read a Revelation, and I think That's a good book for us to read as a congregation. So remember, starting today till next week, you have 3 chapters. Add that in your on your devotional list. Spend time in it. You know, write it down. You know, read it. If you don't understand it, just read it. You don't have to try to figure it. Don't read it with the mindset trying to figure it out. And I'm going to finish with what they call the mega theme of Revelation. What's the theme? God's sovereignty, Christ's return, God's faithful people, God's judgment, and hope. And I want to touch on this again. Christ came to earth as a lamb, the symbol of his perfect sacrifice for our sin. He will return as a triumphant lion. Okay, Jesus is not coming in, you know, through the manger and all that stuff. It's not going to be Christmassy. Can you imagine what's going to happen? Thank God I'm not going to be here to witness it. Whether I'm dead before it happens or whether the rapture is going to happen like that, in the trickle of an eye, blink of an eye. But can you imagine the chaos that's going to happen in this world? People are going to don't know what to do. All of a sudden, there's going to be millions of us disappear. And this is the message of hope. The dead in Christ will arise. The dead in Christ. That's why, you know, I mean, I understand we do our best to keep people alive. I mean, to do whatever we got to do to keep them breathing. But I tell you, this life, 95 years compared to eternity, I'm ready to go. And that's the perspective the church needs. That's the perspective God's people needs to live every day with. This is a message of hope. This is not necessarily a message that makes you hop around, you know. But I tell you, it's a really good message. Amen? So, Book of Revelation. This week, you're going to read it. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. God, we thank you for your word today. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, as your people open your Bible, the Bible, your word today, this week, that you would continue to reveal yourself to them. And just, we're excited for what you're going to be doing in the book of Revelation with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.